I was asked this week, today, in fact, why it is that we say worship only God. Martha had found something from Sunday school. And this is something of a reminder, because what we see in these passages is what happens when we worship things that are other than God, when we worship power, and when we worship wealth, and when we worship safety. Because what happens is that those who are poor and those who have good connections and those who are needy and those who suffer get punished. And that is why we worship God and are reminded that we are all God's children. Please pray with me. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our souls be always acceptable in thy sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'm sort of glad that it snowed yesterday or Friday, because if you've never noticed this, look over at that window. That window is never brighter than on a winter morning after it has snowed. This is the brightest we get from any window all year long. And it's bright sometimes, but now we get the reflection too. And in the midst of Isaiah, who is talking about the darkness that is to come, who's talking about destruction, when he's talking about this stump of Jesse, when do you get a stump? What has happened before you wind up with a stump? You cut down a tree, right? And so Jesse, of course, is the father of King David. And so when we're talking about the stump of Jesse, he's talking about this entire branch of kings and the kingdom being utterly destroyed. That's the metaphor. It's going to be dark. But out of that comes this little bit. A branch will sprout from his roots. So even though you get the tree down, life is not over. Even in the midst of apparent death and destruction, life is not over. Even when it is bitter cold outside and your back is really sore because you don't have a snowblower and the snow was really wet on Friday and it was very cold at 10 p.m. when you were shoveling because your wife was out of town at a conference, there is still hope from the brightness that gleams off the snow in the morning. And what we have here in the picture is the ruins of the Augustine Abbey in Canterbury, England. Canterbury is much more famous for having a giant cathedral there now, which is actually sort of amusing. If you look at it, it looks sort of like a gingerbread house that's been added on by different generations with sort of wings sprouting out of it. It is not the most beautiful cathedral in England, but it is the most important one. And the reason why is because of this abbey. This was the home of the first Christians in England. And the abbey lasted for many, many centuries and then sort of went away during Henry VIII's reign when it was confiscated and sold and then allowed to deteriorate. But I love this picture because of the giant tree growing right out of it, right? There's that giant tree saying, even when these things that have lasted for a long time are destroyed, there is still hope. There is still life. And I say that because hope is so important. I was hoping today to bring you a very lighthearted sermon, one that would send you out into the world with joy in your hearts, preparing for the Advent season. And then this week happened, and I couldn't do that anymore. Because in this week, we've had people saying terrible things because we are afraid. We look overseas and we see violence that happens, violence that was calculated to separate us from others of God's children, and we see many people saying this is a good thing to do. The mayor of Roanoke, famously, did anyone see his letter this week? The mayor of Roanoke? The mayor of Roanoke was talking about not accepting refugees into Roanoke and being careful about who was there and saying, after all, back in the 1940s during World War II, we interned the Japanese in order to prevent a threat. He held up as a laudable thing the internment of the Japanese for Japanese Americans for no reason other than they looked Japanese in World War II, a policy that has been considered so abhorrent in the years since then that it is United States policy to pay reparations to those who were put into internment camps. We have had other people saying, prominent politicians saying, we ought to keep a registry of all Muslims in this country, with no irony that this is the week before Thanksgiving, that we should keep a close track of how it is that people worship God, maybe mark them, give them special pieces of clothing to wear. We have governors across this country, and we have people in the House of Representatives saying we should not admit Syrian refugees because we are afraid of the violence that happened in Paris and in Beirut, violence that was not caused by refugees, violence that was directly caused because those countries were taking a stand to help stop the production of more refugees. For that is why France and Beirut and Lebanon and Russia were targeted for fighting ISIS. These things had nothing to do with the violence in Paris. But we are afraid. We are afraid, and being afraid makes us want to protect ourselves. The lesson of Isaiah on this morning is that we need to be very careful how we protect ourselves. The people in ancient Israel were afraid too. They were afraid of their neighbors in the ancient Near East. They were afraid of the aliens and refugees from the Assyrians that washed up in their midst. And if we are to listen to Isaiah, they did not treat them very well because they were afraid of them. They did not treat them very well. And God said, this is not good. I gave you the chance to build a kingdom built on love of God and love of neighbor. And hatred and fear grew up in its place. Because of that, I do not need to protect this land anymore. I'll remove the protecting hedge. I'll give you hope for the future, but you have sown the seeds of destruction. On Facebook this week, I got a lot of posts from my friends saying, especially those who are not church friends, saying, if only there were some seasonally appropriate story about people with no place to stay getting welcomed in. And they all were referring, of course, to Christmas. And I, being a good pastor, said, no, this is a bad example. It is not seasonally appropriate because it's not Advent yet, right? It's not Advent until next week. Next week it's seasonally appropriate. This week it is not. I said, we need to get through this other holiday first, Thanksgiving, where we had people who did not know all the pilgrims fleeing from their own religious oppression, people who had been sent out of their country into the Netherlands, and then over here, people who had funny ideas about how to worship God that were not accepted in England, and yet the people who were here said, well, we'll help you anyway, because we don't want to see you starve. So I brought that up, and then a couple of my more clever friends said, hey, Nathan, how did that turn out for the Native Americans? And so I said, okay, fair enough. That did not turn out very well for the Native Americans. But, just because we came over and we decided to stretch our arms and run people off of their homes for showing us love and kindness, just because in the past, at least of my people, my people were Puritans, they are implicated in all of this, just because all of that happened once, just like all this happened in Israel once, doesn't mean it has to happen every time. Because sometimes what we need is the message from Isaiah that there is hope for the future, because we could say we were hurt once. We could say violence came at us once. We could say this happened to us and we will never let it happen again. We will protect ourselves from being hurt by cutting ourselves off from everyone else. Pharaoh, it is said, was afraid of the Jews in Egypt, and Pharaoh hardened his heart against them lest he be injured. We saw too a couple of weeks ago, Rehoboam was afraid of looking weak, and so he hardened his heart against the people who cried oppression in his land. But what Jesus tells us is that we need not harden our hearts. What we can do is to live in the hope that love will conquer, in the hope that through love we can model a new world, that through hope we can show that righteousness can exist in a place if only we love one another, welcome other people who are not like ourselves, and look at the world through a lens of love, through a lens of kindness, recognizing in all people God's own divinity. There are a lot of people making hay on fear this week. There are a lot of people asking us to buy into ridiculous things because we are afraid. Because we are afraid. It is natural to be afraid. The people in Israel were afraid, and they were right to be afraid. But what Isaiah tells us and what Jesus tells us is that the fear is not the end of the story. There are ways to understand that fear is part of our story, but to look past our fear and see love. Look at the fear in other people too and extend love to them to help assuage their fear, and in so doing, build some bonds that lead to the kingdom of heaven. So as we enter this week of Thanksgiving, as we remember that there are many things we are thankful for, and as we have our own urges to protect those things of our own, let us remember how we came to have them. We come to be here in this place with what we have because of the kindness of strangers. Without them, we would not be here. They had hope for a new world in which we lived in peace and in harmony. We can have that hope too, because as Jesus tells us, no matter how many times we are wronged, what we are to do is to forgive, is to show love anyway. And that this is how we build the kingdom of God. This is how we build the vineyard. This is the kingdom that God thought was being created in Israel. And this is the kingdom that we have yet to create here on earth. But in Jesus Christ, in this prophecy, in so many others, we have hope for the future that with our good work, we may build this good kingdom. Amen. Rising in body or in spirit, Jim, join in singing hymn number 118 in the Black Hymnal.